I will share with you the sermon you see listed in the bulletin. But today I needed a different sermon, because today is a different day. Friday morning we all woke up and the world was a different place than when we went to bed. I'd like to share with you a prayer written by Reverend Dr. Kwasi Kina, who is a United Methodist working with the General Board of Discipleship. The prayer is entitled Brand New Morning. That's morning with a U. We never know what each day will bring. We hope for joy and peace, or at least the comfort of predictable routine. We're never prepared for the intrusion of evil acted out through harm and mayhem. When death rips life from our grasp, when horror blurs our sight, have mercy on us, Lord. Hold our aching souls. Guide us through dizzying grief. Listen to our wailing. Why? Be the comfort we may not even know we need as we live through this brand new morning. Amen. And mourn we do. We mourn because there is great loss. We mourn for the loss of life. We mourn the loss of comfort and safety. We mourn the circumstances that could lead a person to commit such a depraved act. We mourn that there are places in this world that expect and experience this kind of violence on a daily basis. I'm not going to try to summarize the tragedy. The news channels have been working overtime trying to do that for us. I'm not going to stand here and try to answer the question why. Because to be honest, I don't believe there is an answer that can satisfy. But it is important to seek some framework, some form of words that help us begin to come face to face with where things are. There are so many terms and descriptions people use to try and describe moments like these. For me, moments like these carry with them a very heavy darkness. As a metaphor, darkness carries so many meanings and experiences. We can feel lost in the dark. We can feel scared in the dark. We can feel alone in the dark. And we can feel uncertain in the dark. I'm reminded that darkness is not a force. Darkness is not a power. Darkness is an absence. Darkness is what appears when it seems that the light is gone. Our scriptures carry within them the powerful imagery of darkness. The psalmists, those who wrote those beautiful psalms that fill the pages of our Bible. In the laments of the psalmists, in their crying out to God, they use the imagery of darkness often. In Psalm 143, the author writes, "For my enemy has pursued me, crushing my life to the ground, making me to sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled." Or in the well-known words of the 23rd Psalm, at least in the King James Version that I memorized as a child, we have that verse that says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." In more contemporary language, in fact, in the Pew Bibles that you have with you, if you were to open to that 23rd Psalm, you would find it translated, "Even though I walk through the darkest of valleys." When we are confronted with such a tragedy in our own backyards, the darkness can feel all that more dark and consuming. But the thing about dark moments is that in the darkest moments, it is then that we are most aware of the introduction of light. Now, this is a concept long lost on those of us who have lived our lives in the constant, ever-present glow of electric light. But long before there were lamp posts down the street and street lights covering the intersections and headlights filling the streets of the evening, before the sky was clouded with light pollution, people were keenly aware of the power that even a single flame could hold in the dark. on a perfectly dark night, with no other lights around, the glow of a single candle can be seen from over 3 miles away. Many of us have never experienced that kind of space, but ask someone who lived on the plains, who was looking for home after a long day, how bright a single light can be. 3 miles. That's from here to the state capitol. Even in the midst of all of that expansive darkness, that single light can carry that much power. So where do we find a light in the dark moments? Well, I invite us to go back to the beginning. The very, very beginning. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. The story of creation that we find in the opening words of Genesis isn't just a story that's trying to tell us what God did once upon a time. The story of creation is a story that is trying to tell us all that God is capable of. For if God can create literal light in the literal darkness, then God can surely bring light to the dark night of the soul. The opening lines of Genesis are a promise of hope, telling us not just what God has done, but telling us what God is doing and God will continue to do. For our God is a God of light, light that banishes the darkest of dark, that covers the deepest of deeps. So where is God speaking light into being today? As the victims' families, the city of Aurora, all of Denver and the world beyond feel the darkness of this moment, where is God speaking light into that darkness? Well, we don't have to look very far. It's right here. In fact, it's always here. I love our altar candles. They remind me of when I was an acolyte. I loved that job, much like many of our young people do. It's always fun to see the young people that aren't signed up waiting to see, is the signed up kid going to show? Because if not, I'm ready to go. They love it. There's something so special about carrying that light in and bringing it forward. I also love that here at Highlands UMC, the job description of an acolyte is this: as soon as you're tall enough, you can. Some churches have age limits and classes and all sorts of things. We keep it simple because it's a beautiful, meaningful, but simple act to carry the light in. Our acolytes carry the light in a literal way because they're in charge of bringing that flame in each and every week. You see, I want to remind you that the candles and their light are not simply here to be decoration or mood lighting or atmosphere. We use candles at home for those reasons. But these candles represent the Spirit of God and the light of God's love that is present in this room with us right here, right now. If we just think they're here to look pretty, we have done God a disservice and we are missing the gift of this moment. The light, these dancing tongues of fire are to remind us of the light that is present with us. That's why we're so intentional about the flame. It's carried in, and then it's carried out. Now, hear me correctly. The light is not put out. The light is carried out. It is carried back out into the world and not contained in this place, because God is not contained in this place. And if we will follow those acolytes, I mean literally, follow that light, we will go back out into the world carrying that light as well. And this is when it gets really cool. Hear these words. For the very God who said, "Let light shine in the darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now that's how the Apostle Paul said it in 2 Corinthians, but I think Jesus says it a little more simply in the book of Matthew. Jesus looks at his people. Friend, the reminder, all people are his people. Jesus looks at his people and says, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a basket, but instead puts it on a lampstand where it can give light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your God in heaven. Let your light shine, Jesus says. We're all acolytes, for we all carry the light because we all carry God's spirit of life and love within us. That is the promise of this day. That is the promise of every day. We are invited to let that light shine. We're just like these candles, dancing fiery embodiments of the spirit and love of God in the world. And the light that we carry is not just for decoration. We carry the spirit to actively remind the world of God's presence right here, right now, wherever right here and now may be. In our actions, in our interactions, in our reactions, we're invited to let the light shine. But me, little old me, you might be asking yourself. Just like a single candle in the dark, our light can be very obvious to someone who's looking for it. Our light can also be very obvious to those who feel they have been snuffed out by life. God has poured out the light of God's love to all people. But I believe that we all have moments when we feel like we are burning out, that we are facing the darkness, and the light doesn't shine in us like it used to. You know, if you watch every week, something you will notice that is at one point in time or another, I believe every acolyte has had their flame go out while trying to light the candles up front. In one of the most beautiful, meaningful moments, when one acolyte's light goes out, you watch. The other one's right there and says, "I got your back." And suddenly it's there again. There's a reason we don't send people down that aisle alone. And there is a reason God has not sent us out into this world alone. This is why God has given the light of the Spirit to us all, that we might light the light of God's love in all lives when needed. Because we are the light of the world. This is our call. When the world feels dark, we are called to be the light. Whenever and however we are able to do good in this world, light shines. In every action and interaction we have the ability to be that light. And that light pushes back the darkness. That light brings direction to those who feel lost. That light can bring comfort to those who feel scared. That light can bring companionship to those who feel alone. And that light can bring hope to those who feel the uncertainty of darkness in troubled times. And that light is being brought forth by God through each of us. Because God is speaking light into the world in each one of us gathered here. And though the darkness might feel overwhelming at times, that small light can push away so much and mean so much in the darkest of times, especially to someone or to a world that is seeking it. I know sometimes we hear these invitations to be something for the world, and it's followed by a litany of questions. Yeah, but what and when and where and how, and are you sure you mean me? Folks, sharing God's light in this world need not be fancy. It need not be elaborate. It need only be the light you carry within you. Yesterday, in our parking lot, I watched a 7-year-old girl sort through the toy table very, very carefully. In one hand, she held her allowance money. And with the other hand, she was looking for the perfect stuffed animal. She found it. It was a small blue bunny. It's about this big. It's very cute. And I watched her walk up to that table and hand her money over and say, "I want to buy this, please." With that pride you have when you buy something with money that you earned yourself. And then she held that brand new bunny of hers in her hand, and with only a second between it, turned immediately and handed it to my son in his stroller. "This is for the baby." because she knows the power of sharing and the joy it can mean to give something. I tell you, that small act in that parking lot had nothing to do with the shooting in Aurora. But it had everything to do with me seeing light in this world. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not overcome it. Amen.